Hello, and welcome to the BenHeck.com podcast. This is my new podcast, by gamers, for gamers, from the real-life suburbs of America, specifically Wisconsin. Joining me today is my co-host, Jason Jones.
Hello, everybody.
Who was in Port Washington with me, and also lives down the street a ways, about 10 miles. So I dragged him up here and said, hey, let's do a podcast. This is the prototype episode, Rev 0.01, and we are going to discuss the following topics. Next-gen graphics, why are they so shiny? Also, HD versus standard definition, or the crappy TV in your living room, and how it relates to gaming. Topic two is HD DVD versus Blu-ray versus who gives a rat's ass. The next-gen format war and how it relates to video game systems. And the final topic, Nintendo Wii, the snakes on a plane of consoles? Lots of hype, but will people in the real world buy it?
So, oh, no.
Yes, Jones and I have discussed this many a times, the Nintendo Wii, but I guess we'll get to that as we go. We already talked about who we are. If you found this podcast, you probably know who I am, Ben Heckendorn, and Jason Jones is my friend, who's an IT guy.
Yes, one of those heathens. And then I also run the A Fistful of Reviews website, which is rarely updated, but maybe we'll change that one of these days.
Yes, you mentioned having a podcast for that just yesterday.
Yes.
And then
voila, BenHeck.com is doing a podcast.
I woke up this morning and I'm like, hey, I have a microphone. Okay, so we might as well get started with our first topic, next-gen graphics. Why are they so shiny?
That's a fine question. I actually have an Xbox 360, so I guess I have some sort of perspective on this, but I don't know. It seems like they're very big on showing off reflections and things. I was noticing in Madden the other day that you can see reflections of the stadiums and stuff in the players' helmets, and I think it's just kind of like an excuse for them to show off what they can do with a next-gen system.
Well, you know, in a real football game, after about 3 seconds on the field, your helmet's probably so dirty, you probably wouldn't see a reflection of your own ass in it.
Yes, and it's all scuffed to crap and everything else, so...
Yeah. I mean, that's something to think about, but... Well, I guess I've noticed, like, in Oblivion, you know, you go outside and, like, one side of a person's face is, like... super bright, like they've been to Chernobyl or something, and it's like all glowy and stuff. I mean, Perfect Dark is people talk about that one being really shiny, but it seems like a lot of them are, like,
yeah.
Oblivion. You walk into someone's shop and like half their head is like super bright, and it's got like that glow effect, and
it's got like this big, whatever that is, the big sunburst thing looks like almost coming off their faces.
And it's like all of the next-gen games, like the PS3 games, a lot of them look like that way, especially like Heavenly Sword or Goddess of War. It looks really shiny and bright, and it's like the whole thing. Every next-gen game looks like it was photographed by that guy who does the Spielberg movies.
You know, like Janusz Kaminski or whatever his name
like
is.
Like the Minority Report cinematography where everything's all blown out and contrasty and watched. Or the AI cinematography. It's...
Well, hey, Spielberg's getting into video games now, so
maybe
there's a connection.
Yeah, I was on G4 when that guy made that announcement about that, and although I find that a little, I don't know, because, I mean, if you remember, the 1999 classic Medal of Honor on the PS1 was conceived by Spielberg, and I think he was like the executive producer on it, and also one of his kids was a playtester on it, if you watch the credits, which, well, I'm assuming it's his kid, I think it was.
Probably.
Probably not too many Max Spielbergs running around. but yeah, apparently he's getting into it in a more in-depth fashion, I guess, as with Peter Jackson allegedly did with the King Kong game.
Yeah.
To what result, I guess, is kind of questionable. I never really played it because...
Yeah, I didn't play it yet either. I wish they would have had a demo for it on the Xbox Live Marketplace. I would have checked it out.
The King Kong game, it provides, you know, probably the usual 15 hours of gameplay, which is only slightly longer than the movie was.
Yes. Not by much. It might feel shorter.
Jack
even.
Black's Jungle Adventure. Yeah, well, I guess according to my outline here, my thought is that it seems like these video game graphics are emulating the way cameras pick up images rather than the way our eyeballs see them. You know, like when I walk down the street, if I talk to someone, I don't see this glow on the side of their head.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess it's probably, maybe it's a little easier for them to emulate the way a camera picks up light than... Because if they picked up the way our eyes picked up light, it might actually be kind of boring, because our eyes tend to, you know, flatten things out fairly well and easily. But I don't know. I guess they'll do what they do. It probably looks cool, and that's why they do it.
Yeah, especially if you're on an HD set or something. It's probably like orgasmic or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, actually, there's a thing right here talking about HD. In the same token... we run the games in high def. Now, Jones has taken his Xbox, hooked it up to a pretty good high def set a couple times, right? Like
at my parents' place, like a 50-inch Vega, and it can do 1080i and 720p and all that nonsense. So, and it's pretty cool looking. I mean, you can definitely tell a difference with it compared to a standard set, and like even just something simple like on the menus on the 360, it's... the heightened resolution, it makes everything very crisp, and I noticed on certain games, if you watch it or if you're playing it in standard def, you know, sometimes the text is a little blurry or whatever.
Or small, like in Dead Rising.
Yes, yeah, where you have to go to the optometrist like 5 times in a week after playing it, but
yes, only registered fighter pilots can actually read the text in Dead Rising with their perfect vision.
Yeah, I'd like to try that one out on the bigger TV and see if it's easier to read the stuff, but there's just a lot of things like that where it's much clearer and crisper looking. And like Call of Duty 2, I mean, it looks amazing even on standard def, I think, mm-hmm. but when you put it on the HD, it's that much better, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you ever gotten the impression maybe that... when you go in the high def, you might also see kind of some more limitations of the textures a little bit.
Yeah, because it doesn't wash stuff out as much, so it's
as on
standard. Yeah,
kind of, I think maybe I'm along the same lines as DVDs look worse on LCD screens or big screens.
Yeah,
because you see the limitations of them that you don't see on a older television or a CRT.
Yeah, you can see some of the artifacting more than you normally would, and.
But I've read, usually from the Wii people, that you don't need HD because you're not going to see... No, what is it? You don't need HD because nobody's going to play a next-gen system on an HD system, apparently.
Oh, really?
And that's what I heard.
Wow.
And and so if you have a regular television, you're not going to notice a difference between a PS2 and a PS3. Or that's what I've heard things along those lines, and I don't think that's true. You can definitely tell a difference.
Well, I know even simple things like I've played old Xbox games on my 360, and which the 360 just uses an emulator to run the games on it.
Mm-hmm.
And like Star Wars Battlefront 2, for example, there was such a difference in the clarity of that game when I played it on the 360 as opposed to the Xbox. I mean, it was a noticeable difference, and that was another one where the text was kind of blurry when I played it on the Xbox, but then you play it on the 360 and it was nice and crisp and clear.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's just BS, I'd say. You can...
Yeah, you're going to notice
a
difference on
old games like that, that it looks better on a 360.
Yeah, unless you're using like a 2.5-inch pocket television, you're going to see a difference between the systems because...
Yeah.
Even the next-gen systems aren't photorealistic yet, although... I think not another generation that might be pretty damn close, but so as long, you can still tell a difference. I mean, the graphics still have ways to go, so you're going to be able to tell a difference because of it. I was going to say something. Oh yeah, maybe one of the reasons that sometimes the text is blurry on your CRT Xbox games, Xbox 360 games, is I believe it renders everything at the 720 or 780 by. I'm sorry, the 1280 by 720, you know, progressive scan HD mode. And then it either converts down for your regular television or converts up if you go to 1080i.
Okay.
So maybe that's why the text gets a little mushed.
That makes sense.
It kind of gets scanned down. I mean, yeah, it would be interesting to see what Dead Rising looks like on an HD set and if you could read the text and whatnot. When I played at your place, I was pretty shocked at how small the text was. I mean, it's like... Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
they expect people to see it, read this?
Yeah, you got to have like 20/20 vision to be able to read it from more than 10 feet away, I think. Because I like have to lean in whenever there's text on the screen.
Anyway, that was like on a 36-inch TV?
32, yeah.
I can't imagine on a smaller TV. Although most people have pretty chunky-sized TVs these days.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's interesting, though. I hadn't heard that nobody was going to play next-gen systems on HD systems.
As a lot of people know, I used to be a fan of Nintendo, but like in the last 5 years, I've fallen off the wagon.
Yeah, I liked them up through the 64, but...
Yeah, I like the GameCube. I thought the GameCube was a nice system.
Yeah.
I preferred it to the Xbox One, but now, I guess we'll get to that more later. But anyway, yes, a lot of people have said that their excuse for the Wii not having high def is that nobody or not very many people are going to have high def.
Yeah.
The thing is, they might not now, even though it's a booming market. It's big. It's a big tech thing.
Well,
even on women are buying this stuff up.
Well, they're getting cheaper too.
Exactly. I think they're probably a little too much now. But they're only coming down.
Yeah. Given another year, you know, and you'll be able to buy a damn nice set for under $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will jump at that.
Or even like a, you know, reasonably sized set for like $500.
And
that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes, maybe, let's say it's a small, like maybe 5%, 10% now, people have HD. I don't know exact numbers, it's just a guess. But that's now, but 5 years from now, it's going to be more.
Oh, yeah.
And 360 and PS3 are going to be able to handle that, and the Wii is just going to be sitting in the dust or whatever. I mean, yeah, but we'll see.
Yeah. We'll pick on the Wii more later.
Yeah, we'll get to that later, because all over the internet, it's all pro-Wii. Somebody's got to have a different opinion, and I'm going to just come right out and say that I do. Anyway, last topic in our next-gen graphics discussion is HDMI. Apparently, the 360 is going to get an HDMI port soon, like the Christmas models or something, or so I've read. As some of you know, I've hacked Xbox 360. I mean, well, physically hacked it. I don't support the software hacking. And there are no digital outputs at the connector. So it's all analog. So if there is going to be an HDMI port, it's going to have to be attached to the motherboard, because all that's at the connector on the Xbox 360 is analog signals, such as analog VGA, analog HDTV, and whatnot. But apparently they might add an HDMI port soon. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah, to me, HDMI is one of those things where I don't know how quick that's going to catch on, because that's the sort of thing where I can look at it like, because that's where the studios basically they make their discs, so it's like encrypted or whatever, right? I don't know a lot about
it. Yeah, the image constraint token.
Yeah.
That's the big snafu with the PS3.
And so it's like if, you know, studios start releasing their Blu-ray or whatever discs like that, you know, there aren't going to be a lot of people utilizing players that'll handle that or hooking them up to TVs. You know, here we go back to the TV argument again.
Well,
you know,
you're going to get a HD set this fall,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it's got two HDMIs on it, the one I'm
looking
at. But
that's a fairly new thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah. So even people that have already bought HD TVs, you know, in the last couple of years, do they have
right.
those ports on them, you know?
And here's the rub. Okay, the what people are worried about is you can hook up your game system or your player or whatever to an HD set basically in two ways. You've got your component analog cables. It's a red, green, and blue cable, which is actually YCBCR, which is kind of like how you hook a DVD player up to a higher-end TV. You can use those same kind of cables to hook up your game system to a HDTV, which is how you would hook an Xbox 360 up to an HDTV. The other way is using a digital connection, such as the DVI, or the big new one is the HDMI. And the deal is, there's an option on Blu-ray and probably also HD DVD. It's called the image constraint token. And what that is if the disc detects that you are using an analog output or analog HD TV output, it can choose to only output the movie at half resolution
okay.
to stop a person from pirating it using the analog connections. That's basically, they either can have that on or off on the disc if they choose. So the point is, if you had the $500 PS3 with no HDMI slot, if that means if a person releases a Blu-ray disc with the image constraint token on,
it would only
output it at half resolution using your component cables.
Yeah.
You would need the better PS3 to output the movies in full resolution.
Yeah.
However, that's only if the studios enable that.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got to realize they could be isolating, like, the last 4 years of HDTV buyers.
Yeah, that's why I think that's going to be something that's
might happen
out there in a
3 or 4 years from now, but...
Yeah.
I mean, because, yeah, if it cuts the resolution in half, that's just, that's quite a loss. Yeah.
It kind of sucks that they're going to be adding that into the 360 now, because it kind of shafts, you know, early 360 buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Like me, I wasn't even a complete early adopter this time. I waited like 6 months, and
yeah, that's
I'm still
going to
get shafted.
Coming from a first-gen 3DO owner, that is...
That's right. And yeah. Sega CD, too.
Yes, Jones is one of the few people I know that actually have bought and owned more game systems than I do. He has, like, 8 of them hooked up to his TV. Don't you? You have, like, what do you have hooked up?
I got, like, the Dreamcast, the 64, the Nintendo, the Super Nintendo, the PS2, Xbox, and the 360.
And you have the 3DO out there.
All the GameCubes laying around, too, and the 3DO. And
all hooked up to the same TV. It's pretty drooling.
Kind of absurd, but...
I think it's cool. That way you can play Need for Speed.
That's right.
Old school. Old school 1993. I sound like a teenager.
Or Dr. Mario and pop pills with Mario. So.
Yeah.
Cure cancer.
Yep. Is anything else you want to say about HD, or shall we move on?
Oh, we can move on, I think.
Okay, that's cool. Well, we're not going too off our format yet. A little, but... Okay, our next topic is actually kind of on... Not too far off from where we were just talking, but we're going to discuss the next generation movie disc formats, HD DVD versus Blu-ray versus who gives a rat's ass. Some people might not. Thoughts, Jones?
Well, I'm in the who gives a rat's ass camp as of right now, because I, along with my ridiculous amount of game systems, I also own a ridiculous amount of DVDs and over 1,000, and I'm not going to go and replace my DVDs with this new format, which doesn't give me that much more of a gain as far as what I see in terms of quality. I mean, it's not enough to make me replace my collection. Maybe the Star Wars movies I'd rebuy or something, but...
Okay, what if... Alright, I have I pose a question to you then. What if there was that HD DVD add-on for the Xbox 360 and it was like $200... What would you think about that as a game and movie connoisseur?
I still wouldn't buy it unless they started bringing out a bunch of games that utilized it. Because to me, I'm not going to adopt anything as far as the next DVD media format or whatever until one of them fails. Because
that's a good
we're actually old enough to remember Beta and VHS slugging it out
and mini disc.
Yes,
DAT.
Oh God, I even own a mini disc player. Thank you for reminding me.
Oh, don't forget what was that CD video thing? You remember that in the early 90s?
Was it the Philips thing?
Yeah,
Philips
well,
CDI or.
Not the CDI. It was video CD.
Oh yeah, VCDs.
Yeah,
or whatever,
yeah. They're really big in other countries in piracy and whatnot. But yeah, there's even an adapter you could hook up this box. It basically was an MPEG-1 decoder. You hooked it up to your 3DO or your CDI, and you could watch these amazing VCDs. And it was like 1 hour per disc. And yeah. I guess that was a format so obscure people probably don't even really remember it. But
yeah, I'd forgotten all about it, but. The thing I think is interesting with it, though, is Microsoft announcing, you know, that it's going to be, like, right at $200, because basically they, you know, fired a salvo back at PlayStation, you know, because Sony's over there saying, oh, well, you're going to get a cheap Blu-ray player, you know, when you spend $600
uh-huh.
and get this, you know, great high-end machine where now people can go out and buy their high-end 360 for $400. And then they can say,
choose.
Yeah, 6 months later if they want to or mm-hmm. whatever, or right then they can buy that HD DVD option, or they can say, you know, I don't care, and walk away and they got $200 to spend on controllers and games and all that good stuff, you know. So
wait a minute. I thought people were going to buy a 360 and a Wii.
Oh, no, not the Wii 60.
Oh, I guess we can come back to that later. But yes, I'm going to buy an Xbox 360 and a Wii.
And have nothing
to play on them.
The price
of a PS3 and have no games. Yeah, we'll come. Remind me to bring that back up later. I'll probably get hate mail, but oh well.
That's okay.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion. yeah, I guess. I think a lot of people just might not care.
Yeah. I know the only people I've talked to that have. The only places I've seen talking about Blu-ray or HD DVD are the Best Buy flyer, us talking amongst ourselves, mm-hmm. and going to DVD sites. I haven't heard any, you know, Joe Blow type person that's just, you know, guy off the street say anything about this stuff. I don't think people really care because you don't have
right.
that leap like you did from VHS to DVD.
Right, right. And DVDs look pretty good. And even if a... See, I think when a DVD gets put on a big screen TV, you definitely start to notice limitations.
Yeah. Because
it is. There is a lot of compression. But, you know, we also live in a country where people see craptacular digital cable, which looks like a Sega CD game sometimes, and they think that's okay. So,
Ground Zero HD.
Right, so exactly. And for them, DVD is enough. And would you say that even just like the average person, I mean, a lot of times the internet, it's hard to differentiate like the average person from like people that actually make a podcast about this or write about in forums.
Yeah.
The average person, I'd say probably, even the average person probably has a decent sized DVD collection, you know.
I would guess, because, you know, you go into Best Buy and you see,
mm-hmm.
I remember when I first bought my DVD player back in 99, it was like, me and whoever I was with were, like, the only people in the DVD aisles, you know, and now you go in there and you're, like, elbowing people out of the way and
mm-hmm.
drop-kicking other people trying to get the last copy of whatever disc you're looking for. And so I think there are, you know, probably most people have, like, at least 100 DVDs, I would
guess.
Oh,
really?
Maybe not most, but I think there's a higher number than people would suspect that would have that many DVDs,
would you say that it's probably more than people that had VHS?
I would say. Because I think most people owned, you know, 10 or 20 VHS tapes where, you know, now people, you know, go to the... Because you can buy DVDs so cheap now. I mean, there's a lot
right.
of them where you can buy them for, you know, $5-6 and
mm-hmm.
they're great movies.
Maybe
stuff,
it's because, so. You know, they like to collect them and have them on a bookshelf or whatever, and they like...
Yeah.
You know, put them next to their Pottery Barn candles.
Yeah. And now you go there and it's like Blu-ray discs are $25-30, you know, for 51st Dates. And it's like, well, 51st Dates, a good movie and everything, but I don't think I need to spend $30 to watch it in, you know, high def and all that. It's like,
yeah, I'm a pretty uber Sony fanboy, as most people know. But I even had to admit, I mean, it's like, oh boy, I can watch Hitch, 51st Dates, Underworld Evolution, or
oh,
Stealth
no.
on my Blu-ray player. It's
oh.
like, this is great. I mean,
Mammal Warning. Wasn't that what was on
oh,
Stealth?
God. Pardon my C cup. I mean, you know, I would think, I mean, obviously people want to see, you know, Star Wars or Indiana Jones or whatever on
yeah.
on a new format. And granted, you know, Sony is going to release Sony movies first. And you know what? You know, it'd probably be cool to see, like, Spider-Man 3 in Blu-ray or something like
yeah.
that. But, of course, is HD DVD much different? I mean, that's it's like, what was the first one? Rumor has it? Oh, yippee.
Yeah, like, the only movie I saw, you know, that probably would really show something off was they had Last Samurai that
mm-hmm.
you could get in HD, or at least, you know, that's like an epic movie with a lot going on the screen, so it could be more interesting to see, but...
And Tom!
Yes. But I think the thing with it is, I think the only way either of these formats has a chance is because of the video game systems. I think if the PlayStation 3 didn't have Blu-ray, and if the 360 wasn't going to have the HD DVD support, I don't think either of these formats would have a chance of being anything more than the new Laserdisc, pretty much.
Well, I think, we were talking about it earlier, there's probably techno geeks that would like a new Laserdisc because
it's theirs or whatever.
Right. From my standpoint, I remember a time when only like geeky people would use computers, and now everybody does. It's like, oh man, I need a new geeky thing to do.
Yeah.
And back in the 90s, you know, people, you know, they watched videotapes, and other people had Laserdiscs, and Laserdiscs were pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
So I think maybe Blu-ray and HD, at least for the first few years, will have like Laserdisc kind of following.
Yeah, I think so too.
But that's good. I mean, Laserdiscs, I'm sure, you know, were successful in their own right. Oh. I mean, they were the size of, you know, UFOs, but what can you say?
Well, just like I was saying, too, you know, when I first got my DVD player, it was cool, you know, because it was like, ooh, I'm, you know, like the only guy on the block that's got a DVD player, mm-hmm. you know, but also, you went into the DVD store, and there were, like, two aisles, where now you go in there, and there's, like, 15 aisles,
mm-hmm.
and there's, like, all this great stuff that's now on DVD because so many people jumped in and started buying players.
Right.
And, you know, we didn't have Star Wars or Indiana Jones on
DVD.
Well,
at the beginning
of
DVD, it was all pretty much all Warner Brothers stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, Twister, yay!
Yeah.
It's like, I'm Bill Paxton on DVD. Yeah.
So that's the one good part about the mass market appeal is mm-hmm. the studios start raiding their vaults and they go, ooh, look, we can, you know, bring out Indiana Jones now and make all kinds of money. And
mm-hmm.
Or otherwise,
well,
they might not have.
I'm sure, you know, Star Wars HD or Blu-ray is already ready to go. And
yeah.
So you can buy it again for the eighth time in a year or two. I would bet Christmas 2007.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think it is possible that both formats could fail. People have already invested a lot in their DVDs, and personally, I don't. I probably watch less movies than anyone I know, almost, and so I really don't care either way. Well, I care from a watching a train wreck sort of perspective, but I think it's conceivable that a lot of people might just say, screw it and wait,
yeah.
and then it'll be like 2010, and then everything will be a digital download. I think, well, Bill Gates said it too, and I think he's absolutely right. After, no matter who wins HD or Blu-ray, that'll be the last format. Everything else will be digital download, especially with the broadband penetration. It's like, it's exceeded 50%, hasn't it?
I believe it's pretty high. It's pretty high, but the thing, I was talking to some guys at work about that the other day, and I was, you know, we were kind of, you know, spitting it back and forth about this stuff, and the digital download thing, you know, it sounds great, but I don't know how soon that's going to happen. I mean, they almost have to have fiber optic running to people's homes to be able to make that really feasible, and then people mm-hmm. have to have, you know, I mean, the best way I could see it happening is if you streamed it to your house and you bought like drive space, you know, from Google or Microsoft or whoever the heck it is, you know, and that's where you stored your movies and stuff.
Well,
and then you streamed it to your house, because otherwise if you download the stuff and then your hard drive takes a crap at home and you didn't have a good backup solution in place, you're kind of hosed.
Yeah, that's true, unless there's some sort of like token that, you know, you are authorized, you've bought this so you can get a new download. Although I've noticed with iTunes, I think I reinstalled it a couple times, and it's like, you can only reinstall this a few more times or something like that. And
oh, really?
I'm not exactly sure how that works.
I know one of the guys I work with, he said he's got, I can't remember what MP3 thing it was, but it, whatever, he had something where he downloaded this file, like one of the songs he downloaded, and it was like corrupted file and all that, and all he had to do was call their phone support, and I guess he said he gets like a token emailed to him, like kind of a CD key or whatever you want to call it, emailed to him, plus he can access it online and everything else. And so he called into their phone support and said, hey, I'm having this problem, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, okay. And he was able to go out and download it again because he had those keys. So, I mean, it sounds like they're already kind of doing that stuff, so it might work. But again, you know, how do you reach the people? Like another guy I work with, he's stuck out in the boonies and all they got is dial-up. I mean, he could get satellite, but, you know. It's...
Well, he can use Blu-ray.
Yeah. Because that's, I don't know. And there's people like me. I'm still old school. I like to walk into Best Buy or Circuit City or whatever and actually physically walk in, grab something off the shelf, plunk down my money, and go home, and I've got something physical
mm-hmm.
in my hand. You know, there's just something nice about having the case and all that crap.
Right,
you know?
If your computer crashes, you could always just re-rip it or whatever.
Yeah. So
I don't think storage space is a big deal. I mean, the average hard drive is like, what, 300 gigs now? And
yeah, the storage isn't a big deal. I think it's the disaster recovery or whatever, you know, if
mm-hmm.
your hard drive took a crap. I mean, there's a big market there, I think, for the backup companies to exploit, because
or like maybe like new a RAID or something.
Yeah, that's true. Home computers could start being raided.
A redundant array of inexpensive disks, right?
Yeah. If they did RAID 5, you could have a disk fail and it would still keep running.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something they could do, too.
I mean, it's conceivable that, you know, you might have a Media Center PC and that would be your DVR slash disks player slash hub. And, you know, they talk about the declining movie attendance and a lot of that is because movies suck mostly these days.
Pretty much. Yeah.
But, you know, a movie could be released and streamed to your house and you could watch it on your screen. And I mean, there's something to be said to going to movies. I like going to movies sometimes. But yeah. A lot of people just want to sit at home, especially if they have kids and stuff. I guess you can't blame them too much. But so, you know, when Snakes in a Plane 5 comes out, and you just download it and... oh, we still good?
Oh, yeah.
You just download it and... That way you get it. I mean, that's a good example. There's Snakes in a Plane. They talk about the internet, but nobody goes to see it in the theater because it's two completely different things. If something is popular on the internet, like a clip on YouTube is popular because you see a link to it, and you can click on the link, and then you see it.
Yeah.
Snakes in a Plane, you can talk about the internet all you want, but when push comes to shove, you have to get off your butt and drive to the movie theater and see it.
Yeah.
That's a completely different thing. They don't connect, and that's why nobody cares.
Yeah, things are very demand-oriented in this country anyways, so I mean, I can see where it could go that way eventually, but I think they'd still have to, you know, keep a physical version of it available for people to go and buy.
Which would probably be HD or Blu-ray, and probably still DVD, I mean, you know.
But you look at how fast, you know, that's why I think streaming's the only way you could do it, because it's... You know, you look at how big those files are and stuff, you know, you figure a Blu-ray DVD will be... You know, what, 40 gig or something it could be?
Probably.
You know, so, I mean, that's a huge... I mean, we got T1s at work, multiple T1s, and pulling something that big down, if you're going to pull it down to watch it, would take, like, hours and hours.
Yeah, that's true. You couldn't even... Even a standard high-speed cable connection wouldn't even be fast enough to download DVD quality, actually, come to think of it.
No.
DVD quality is about 800K a second, or... Well, it averages about that, or, you know, 8 megabits. Or well, anyway, it's faster than your cable modem is like 370K a second. It's called 3 megabits, but you divide that by 8, and that's how you find out how many bytes it is. So it's 370K a second about.
Yeah,
that's true, but still, I mean... You know, maybe you queue up movies like Netflix, and they download while you're at work, and then you come home, and then there they are. Could happen, too.
Yeah, that'd be the way to do it. Cause I know for people like me, you know, it's kind of a reflex decision. I get home at night, I'm just like, I want to watch a movie, but I don't really know what. And I go poke through my DVDs, and, oh, here, this looks good, and throw it in where I wouldn't have that option anymore if it worked that way. So, but that's where fiber optic stuff comes in, I think.
Or really large hard drives.
Yeah, one or the other.
I'm talking like 5 years from now. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's where you could first start to see it happening is probably in 5 years. And maybe major adoption would be 10 years from now. And, you know, it'd be another one of those things where, like, the geeks would start doing it first and all the...
Well, they already have.
Well... Well, yeah, the really geeky geeks that, you know, don't even want to pay for the stuff. Yeah.
Yes. But then I suppose they go to work and expect to get their paychecks.
Yes.
Because that's different.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay, well, unless you have anything else to say on that, I guess we could move on to our final topic. We're only about 10% over on the time we estimated. So, yeah, I guess we'll have to see. Okay, let's close this. HD versus Blu-ray. Assuming one of them wins, what do you think? Which one?
It's hard to say. Before, I would have given, you know, the nod to the Blu-ray stuff, but now that Microsoft has announced their plans for the HD, it gets a little murkier. I still kind of think the Blu-ray might have the edge just because it's... a bigger leap in formats. It's,
yeah, it's
got
true.
A lot more storage space on it.
It's slightly favored by Hollywood
by the studios.
Few more.
Yeah, I mean, they're still pretty close, but I mean, that's, I'd probably still kind of give it to Blu-ray by a nose, but it wouldn't take much, I think, to turn the tables back the other way.
No. I mean, PS3 is expensive, but people are still going to buy it, you know? SUVs are expensive. People buy them.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop people from buying this stuff.
Yeah. Gas is expensive. They still buy SUVs.
Well, you have to buy
matter.
That. but yeah, that's a good point. I think I'd slightly say Blu-ray as well. I mean, one of these days, Sony's got to release a format that succeeds. I mean, you got to root for them at least that. At least they keep trying. You know, they haven't given up. You can make some sort of heartwarming Disney movie about that. Like, you know, they...
And the thing with the PS3 is that they are forcing a Blu-ray player into your home, where
exactly.
Microsoft isn't, because, I mean, eventually they might integrate it into the 360, who knows, but for now it's an option,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so people can choose not to get it, where the Blu-ray, you're going to have it, so the next time you go to the store, you might be like, oh, well, let's go look at the Blu-ray stuff they got.
Mm-hmm. So. That way, and then you can pay $28 for a movie you probably have on DVD.
Yes, for... Save the Last Dance or something.
Take the lead. I am Antonio Banderas, animated bee.
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll have to see, but, yeah, Blu-ray at least, I don't know. One thing to think about, it's called Blu-ray. It doesn't have the words DVD in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is something different. Whereas HD DVD is like, DVD?
Yeah, that's true.
That's something to think about.
Yeah.
All right, our last topic of this show is the Nintendo Wii. Will it be the snakes on a plane of consoles? By this, I mean everybody online talks about it, but when it comes time to walk up to the cash register and cha-ching, maybe it's just not going to, you know, be the end-all, be-all system.
Yeah, it was a lot cooler when it was called the Revolution, I'll give it that, but...
Maybe they wanted to sell some in France.
Yes.
They had to change it.
But the Wii itself, I love how people speculate on what the price is going to be, even though that hasn't been announced yet either.
Because it's probably going to be higher than people expect.
Yeah, I think so. Everybody keeps saying, you know, there's people that are like, oh, it's going to be $180, and everybody says it's going to be under $200, you know, and it's like, nobody knows. This thing could be $250.
Well,
it's,
actually, I think Nintendo did say under $250, so that means $249.
Yep, that's what it'll be.
It's under $250.
I don't know, it's such a gimmicky thing to me. I mean, I grew up on Nintendo. I'm not a Nintendo basher or anything.
Oh, yeah, the 8-bit Nintendo was still my favorite system.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved the Super Nintendo, mm-hmm. you know, Link to the
I
Past.
I
want to
get
was...
one of those. I wish I had a Super Nintendo again. Because I have, like, at least 3 games. Sunset Riders, awesome.
Well, like, ActRaiser rocked. I loved that
Star
game.
Fox.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God, I want a Super Nintendo.
But there was a lot of great crap, you know, back then. I mean, lots of great games. And, you know, then the 64, of course, you had GoldenEye and things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The Perfect Dark. And, I mean, they've had great games. But with the Wii, it's more just about this gimmick of the whole motion crap. And, you know, I don't really feel like sitting in my chair in my living room playing Madden football and having to whip my arm around to throw passes to people. It's like a novelty thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Might be fun for 15 minutes, and then you get sick of it and throw on, you know, turn your 360 or PS3 on and have a good time, you know?
Yeah, it's like, you read about how these games are supposed to be controlled. It's like, and then you shake your arm this way to do this. And it's like, why can't that be represented by a button? I mean, you get in your car and you don't, like, wiggle your nose to start the engine. You turn a key, you know? You do something. And I mean, I guess, to some extent, you know, if you're waving a tennis racket or a sword or a lightsaber, and, you know, I guess that'd be cool because it would represent it, but...
Yeah. Yeah, for sports games, it would probably be better than most, I think, but...
Yeah. You know, maybe if you could, like, hold it up in the air to catch a baseball or something, but the thing is, I guess my take on that is, you're still dealing with... You're moving this thing in 3D space, but you're still dealing with just a flat screen... And not high def even.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm just saying, if you had like a VR helmet or something.
Yeah, then it would be better.
Right, but now that would be awesome.
Yeah,
you know, like
cool.
You know how like the PS3 was supposed to have dual HDMI outputs, so you get stereoscopic vision. Of course, that never happened.
Yeah.
See, there I ripped on PS3. All right, I'm being somewhat fair.
Yeah, I guess I just don't. It's an interesting idea, but again, how soon people forget the Power Glove? I know that was made by Mattel, but
oh god, that thing was crap.
The U-Force, I know that was made by Broderbund, but that was also on. Rob, the Virtual Boy,
yes.
The Super Scope 6, or the Stupid
Scope
6.
Oh, God, the
6.
Super Scope, which had, what, 3 games or something?
Oh, really? It had 3 games?
Maybe.
It had that one that came with it, you know, with a whack-a-mole. And
yeah. Yeah, it's just, I think, like, Ben and I were talking the other day about this, and I think it's kind of like Nintendo just said, you know what, this, we have to do something radical to even try to have a chance, because they couldn't just bring out another GameCube or whatever. They had to try to throw a different gimmick out there to make it different from the PS3 mm-hmm. and the 360.
But it's so far behind in technology. I mean,
yeah,
you look at the reports and it's basically slightly better than an Xbox, like 88 megs total system memory. I mean, what is this, 2001?
Yeah.
I mean, I know people say it's not about graphics, it's about the gameplay, but I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
I think a high-end system gives you good gameplay. Look at something like Oblivion.
Yeah.
You get this big world to run around in. You get that world because you have a high-end system.
Yeah.
Or Grand Theft Auto. I mean, Grand Theft Auto looks kind of ugly, but it does that to give you a big world to play in, and it certainly wouldn't have run on a PS1. I mean, there's no... Just because a game has good graphics or you have a high-end system doesn't mean it still can't be fun.
Yeah.
And on the same token, primitive graphics doesn't mean a game can't be fun either.
Yeah.
Like, I still enjoy Nintendo games, but people are attracted to shiny objects. Just ask raccoons. So I think to a point, it's graphics do matter and gameplay does matter because it gives you, you know, destructible environments and better physics, which draws you into the game.
Yeah.
So I think it is important to have a high-end system and good graphics because...
Yeah, I was going to say, the people that say those things haven't played Oblivion, obviously. So
yeah, that's... I mean, yeah, that's... Well, maybe they have, but that's a good point to bring up.
Because I remember when I got my 360, I didn't get Oblivion for probably 3 or 4 weeks, and everybody I talked to that had, like, seen Oblivion or played it for, like, 15 minutes was like,
mm-hmm.
Just buy it. Trust me, you'll like it. And
I think
loved
I told
it,
you that,
you know?
Too, didn't I?
Yeah. And people I worked
and
100 with.
100 hours later, Jones emerged
yes,
from Oblivion.
Unscathed.
He's like, my precious Oblivion.
And my marriage even survived, so.
Yes.
But back on the Wii, though, it's just, I don't know. People talk about how it's going to be the second system. Like, I've read that.
Oh,
like,
yes.
The
Wii
60 thing.
Yep.
Or, like, there's even people that say... People that buy a PS3, their second system is going to be a Wii, and I just don't see it. For me, my second system is going to be a PS3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which I won't buy right away, but it's just the
yeah. Here's
the Wii is just like God. I don't know what to say.
Well,
about
it's
it.
Just I was rooting for the GameCube. I liked the GameCube. I thought it was a nice system. The load times were great.
Yeah, it's got fun games too.
I actually like the GameCube better than the Xbox One, like I said earlier, but. This is just like they're not even trying to compete. It's like almost like they're thrown in the towel.
Yeah.
I mean, the GameCube and the Xbox were pretty neck and neck. I think Xbox might have edged out at the end.
Yeah, I think
but
so.
But had they gone with just a GameCube successor to like compete against the Xbox 360, I think the Xbox 360 would have had a wider margin of victory. So they've gone this completely different route and tried to like get non-gamers or whatever.
Yeah.
But...
And the non-gamers you talk to think it sounds stupid, or at least the ones I've talked to.
Yeah,
it's like... They're like, no, I wouldn't do that. I'd get a 360
because
or a
even
PS3,
they,
you know?
I mean, you think about a video game and you've got this control. I mean, maybe we're being closed-minded. But it's... You don't release a car that has a steering wheel on your kneecap or something. There's a steering wheel because that's what people are used to. And it just seems like the controller would limit what you could do. I mean, I know they have all these add-on controllers, like Nintendo 64 controller, or like you know, you can add things onto the Wii controller, which will give Nintendo more money.
Yeah.
but the root is that all the games will have to be based off the nunchuck, fishing
yeah.
rod controller or whatever, and it just seems like I mean, you hold your arm out and then you've got to play a whole FPS like that. It just
yeah, it's crap.
I mean, is people going to have, like, carpal tunnel from that? Or you got to wonder. Just people say it's going to be great for FPS. Okay, first of all, FPS running at 640 by 480 is not great. Secondly, when you have a mouse, you've got the mouse on a flat surface, and there's always a point of reference, which is the solid table or mouse pad. If you're holding your arm out in space, there's not a very good frame of reference, especially if you've been like drinking or something. It's going to be all over the map. I mean, I haven't played one, obviously, yet, but I'm just it. You just kind of think about it, and you can see where there could be problems. Maybe there won't be, but...
Yeah, I will. I'll wait, and I'll play one. I'll give it a chance.
Oh, sure.
I'll play one.
You know, I'm interested.
But it's, you know, I can see what Nintendo's doing. I think it's, you know, a fine idea. It's one of those things where you talk about it, and you're like, well, yeah, on paper it sounds like a good idea, but, you know, if you really think about it, it's like, no, this isn't going to fly.
And a non-fanboy can step back and say that.
And the other big thing with it is, as far as I've seen, they haven't talked about any sort of online stuff with it yet, other than being able to download old video games.
Right.
Like, because it's all about, you know, playing with friends in your living room and all that, and it's like, well, that's great, but that doesn't always happen.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I'll admit, I would rather play against four people on, like, Perfect Dark or something than online, because it's more fun, because you can trash talk right there to their face, and usually much worse than you would online, at least I would. But, yeah, that's true. That's not always the case.
But also, how's that going to work, too, for multiple controllers all interacting with this thing, too? I haven't seen anything.
I don't know.
About
and there's
that.
A sensor bar you had to put on your TV.
Yeah.
power glove. I mean, I don't know. You think about it. It's like, okay, non-gamer, put this sensor bar on your TV and calibrate it. And all this. And it's like, I don't know. I just got to think about stuff like that. It's.
Yeah.
I don't know.
People like stuff they can just bring home, plug in, and away they go. I mean, I'm even a techno geeky guy, and I like to just be able to bring something home and plug the frickin' thing in and use it. You know?
Like the Xbox 360 controller, that's great. You know, it can turn on the system. It's lightweight. Yeah. It's sleek looking. The batteries last a reasonable time.
Yeah.
And that's a good evolution of a controller. Stick you wave around, I'm just not convinced.
Well, the marketplace thing's great, too, with the online functionality.
Oh, the Xbox, you mean?
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's like, I was never a big fan of online stuff and all that, but, I mean, it's really cool. You know, you can go out there, there's a new game coming out. Probably 75% of the time, there's a demo out there you can download, and you can actually check it out. You know, that thing, like you were talking about with the digital downloads, where you can sit at home, pull it down, you don't have to go out to the store and rent the stupid thing, and then find out it's crap, or, you know, whatever. You can just pull down a demo, you can pull down
trailers, those demos are awesome.
All sorts of stuff, you know, and really get a feel for the games. I mean, they've been doing that stuff for computers for years, and that's kind of where Microsoft's coming from, I think, with putting that on the 360.
Oh, speaking of games, the other thing, I'm just trying to be fair, you know, another view of the Wii, besides the normal view, is that the Wii is about innovative, fun games, whereas Xbox and PlayStation just have the latest Grand Theft Auto, Final Fantasy, Halo, you know. They just have the same franchises over and over and over on the PS3 and Xbox 360.
Mario.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, how many new franchises has Nintendo come up with since, let's say, 1985? We should be able to think of this right off the top of our heads. Star Fox.
Star Fox was the only one that came
Pokemon.
To mind.
Pokemon.
Oh, yep, Pokemon.
Anything else? I'm sure I'll get email on this, but...
Well, it's good, because we need people to tell us what the other ones are.
Yeah, I mean, because, I don't know, I mean...
But it's like, all they do is, you know, they got, you know, Mario 36, they got Luigi whatever,
yeah,
they got Super Mario Soccer Baseball, you know.
Right, you get a Zelda game, a Mario Kart game, a Metroid game, a regular Mario game, and some Pokemon stuff.
And you know you're going to get all those on the Wii.
Yes. The thing is, you know exactly the games you're going to get, and they're just updated. Oh, don't forget Mario Party 97.
Yes.
You're just going to get updated versions of the same game. And, okay, granted, that's kind of what you get with the sequels on the PS3 and the Xbox 360, but those are much newer franchises.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
well, it's like Halo. They've made two. They're going to make a three. And from what I've read, you know, and who knows, they could change their tune, but they say they envision that as a trilogy, and they're not going to make any more after the third one.
Well, because they can come up with a new property like Gears of War or God of War, a game I love. And it's, you just come up with an idea. And I guess my point is, another thing is, cold turkey, you know, you have your latest Metroid sequel on the GameCube or whatever. You sell 1 million, 2 million copies. Guess what? Halo sold 10 million. You know?
Yeah.
Yes, it's the same old game. Oh, another Grand Theft Auto, but guess what? They sell. I mean, look at the Maddens. I mean,
well, and like
numbers talk.
And Halo to Halo 2, you know, just to use that as an example, they did add like online multiplayer to the second one, mm-hmm. you know, and they did different things with it that made it, you know, more of an update. You know, like the first mm-hmm. one, you didn't have the option to play with people online.
And right.
They did that with the second, so it's at least they added functionality to it, you know,
right.
where Mario, it's, you know, they change what it looks like or whatever, you know, or like with the Wii, you know, now you're going to be able to, like, whip your controller around and throw mushrooms or something. I don't know what's going to go on, but
yeah,
it doesn't interest me, which is sad because I don't hate Nintendo.
No, I don't either. I just I find their decisions strange. We probably should wrap this up pretty soon, but what was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say. It was involving Nintendo. Let's see, the games.
Was it being able to download, like, old games that you already own?
Yeah, well,
and that
sort of stuff. So you bought the games on the Nintendo, then you buy them again for the Game Boy Advance, now you can buy them again. Or you can just go buy an old Nintendo, you know. Unless your living room is 2 feet by 2 feet, it shouldn't be that big of a problem to fit it in there. I mean, they didn't come knocking door-to-door and take all the Nintendos. They're still out there in the world. I know several people that have one.
Yeah.
Bad
pins and all, you know.
Yep. It's not that impossible. And, of course, there's always the deep, dark emulation on the internet. And, yes, technically it's illegal, but how many people have iPods completely filled with 10,000 songs they bought legitimately? Okay, maybe some people do, but
I'm
just
saying. Probably
not many. Yeah. I can't remember what my other point was, but it's basically, oh yeah, I remember what it was now. I think Nintendo's become like Atari was. They release systems that are barely upgrades of the previous, and from the GameCube to the Wii, it's basically GameCube 1.5 as far as technology, if that. And barely updated systems, like the Atari released the same. They had the Atari 100 computer, the same guts was using the Atari 5200, the same guts were using the Atari XE game system. Barely updated. They release the same games over and over and over. Granted, Nintendo updates their games a lot better than Atari did, but it's the same kind of theme. And I don't know. It just seems like people might start to get disinterested. I mean, I think it'd be really cool if they made a game where, you know, Mario begins. He's in college. And he has to clean up sewer pipes. And he's in love with, like, you know, this cheerleader, you know, princess or something like that. And the Donkey Kong climbs up a big building. That'd be a cool game. I mean, if there are games, they're just games on the games on Nintendo just don't interest me, and I'm an average aged video game player. So,
well, they used to do fun stuff. Like I remember when they brought out Super Mario like RPG way
back.
Oh
yeah,
when. That was a cool game because it took Mario and threw it into like a different genre, and that made it more interesting. You know, or make first person Mario or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Change it up a bit. It's
like,
but I mean, I'd rather go back and play regular old Super Mario Brothers rather than Mario 64. I never got into Mario 64.
Mario 64 on the Nintendo was pretty cool. Strangely enough, that's the only Mario game I've ever beaten.
The one on the 64?
Yeah, can you believe
really?
That? I know, that's the kind of thing you tell people, like, what the hell? Yeah, I never beat Mario 1, 2, 3, any of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, cause I never
I played them a lot, but
I never beat the 64 one. I beat all the old Nintendo ones. But
That is strange.
And the Super Nintendo and all that. So.
I guess it would be cool to see Nintendo succeed. There's no chance in hell they're going to be number one this generation.
No.
And the thing is, we should probably wrap this up. Like the Wii 60 thing. Apparently, according to the Wii 60 thing, people are going to, instead of buying a PS3 for $600, they're going to buy an Xbox 360 and a Wii. Okay? First of all, that's going to cost more than $600. That's going to cost $400 plus $250, which is $650. And then so what? They're not going to buy any games for these two systems? Okay, let's say they do. Let's say they buy two games each. What are you up to then? What is that, $850?
Yeah, you can figure $120 for the two 360 games probably.
Yeah.
And whatever for whatever the Wii games are going to cost.
So let's say the Wii 60 people or whoever does this thing, apparently, which is going to catch on like wildfire. So let's say they do buy an Xbox 360 and a Wii at the same time, which they won't, and then two games each, they're already going to be north of $800 easily, yeah. which is like a good PS3 and two or three games, and maybe even an extra controller. So I don't exactly see their point.
Here's what's going to happen
in the real world. Everybody's going to buy an Xbox 360. Some people will buy a PS3, and some people will buy a Wii. And high-end people who already have a 360 might buy a PS3, or people might just buy a PS3. But a person's not going to go in and buy a 360 and a Wii at the same time, because it's going to cost more than a PS3, and they won't have any games.
Yep.
Jaguar, do the math!
There you go.
Oh, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, like, for my situation, you know, I'm trying to remember when I bought my 360, I bought the system, I bought another wireless controller, mm-hmm. and I bought one or two games, because I got Project Gotham Racing 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, right there, that was, you know, I was up over $500. Mm-hmm. You know, I probably pushed $550 or something.
Right.
Yeah, I bought like the battery packs for the controllers and all that garbage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I was, you know, getting close to $600 by then, but I had all the peripherals I needed.
You were
I
set
had
up.
The game
you did,
I wanted
you did
to
buy
get.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
well,
I never would have even, if the Wii were sitting on the shelf next to it, I never would have even considered it.
Right, a person's going to buy an Xbox 360 and games and accessories, or a PS3 and games and accessories.
Or they might buy
a Wii
and games
accessories. They're not going to buy two.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be a shitload of money.
Yeah, and who goes out and buys two game systems at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll buy the Wii later.
It's possible.
Yeah. I also don't think... Okay, I'm just going to come out and say it. I don't think people are going to just buy the Wii. The Nintendo people will, which will give it a GameCube penetration, which I guess, you know, that's fine. But it ain't no number one or even number two. Personally, I think now the 360 is probably going to take it this time, because the PS3 is expensive.
Yeah. And the 360's got, you know, Xbox Live, which is well established. You know, they've been using it for years now, and Sony's got to try to cook something up and bring it out that compares to it
mm-hmm.
right out of the box. You know, they mm-hmm. can't just rely on their software vendors to provide online support anymore
right.
to be able to compete.
Yeah, so, well, aren't they saying like both the Sony and the Nintendo are supposed to have free online?
That's what they're saying. We'll wait and see on
but
that.
But the Xbox, what is it, $50 a year?
Yeah.
I mean,
like,
come on.
Who cares?
That's,
it's $4 a month.
Yeah, I mean, that's really nothing. I mean,
and
that's
you
like,
can still
that's less than the price of a cup of coffee a day.
Yeah, it's like one trip to McDonald's or whatever, you know. It's like, who cares? And
exactly.
It'll, you know, it's,
and it's a good service. You get to do all sorts of crap.
Yeah, and even with the Silver service, which is free, you can mm-hmm. still go out and download demos and do all that stuff. You just can't play against people online unless it's a massively multiplayer online mm-hmm. game. Then with the Silver service, you can still play. But I mean, it's $50, you know.
Well,
$50 never killed anybody.
If you look at the Xbox prices aren't going to come down this Christmas, they're saying, but they might bundle. They don't really need to, because the Wii is completely different. The PS3 is a lot more. Microsoft is like, you know what, we'll just maybe approach starting to maybe not lose as much money on the Xbox instead of lose $100 more per unit. Because personally, I think the amount of the small upgrade of the Wii, you know, what is it, like 700 megahertz or something like that versus 500 for the GameCube, it's such a small leap. Why is it even $250?
Yeah, it should be 100 something.
Yeah, it's got Wi-Fi and like built-in memory, but you're paying 100. Okay, let's say it's worth 150. So you're paying $100 for the wand.
Yeah.
I'm just not seeing. I think it's possible people are used to new game systems costing $300. They have been for the last 10 years. Now they're like $400. Inflation, that's pretty much in line with inflation. They might think the Nintendo Wii is just too cheap. It's possible.
Yeah.
The GameCube was cheap, and that didn't really help it either. I mean, it was still...
Yeah, it still wound up third in the end, but...
So
and Gears of War comes out the week before the PS3 launches, so that'll be because that's one that people are really anticipating for the 360. So
it'll
be interesting to see how that impacts it, since they couldn't quite get Halo 3 out, which was my prediction way back when that would come out before the PS3 launched. But
well, that'll still probably be like spring or something, isn't it?
It's supposed to be like April next year, which will be huge. I mean, that'll move probably, you know, a million 360s right away.
Well, what's this latest thing they're saying on PS3? Worldwide, there'll only be 3 million units by March.
Yeah,
so
instead of 6 million.
What is that, 1 million a market?
Yeah,
it's going to make the Xbox 360 shortage look like the gas crisis of the 70s.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to... Oh, I guess that was... I put that the wrong way.
Well, I mean, it'll
be... It's going to be bad.
Yeah, there won't be any around.
People will be like, you know, shuttering up the door or the windows of their shop, like, no, we don't have any PS3s. And people will be like zombies, PS3. People like... like okay,
that'll be the sequel to Dead Rising.
Yeah. And then Microsoft would be like, ha, 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 ha,
yep, because their production's ramped up now, mm-hmm. So, and they've got a year's worth of games and everything
and
else.
They're going to have a new die process, so the systems will be cooler and cheaper for them to make with a smaller CPU. And, yeah, the thing is, people, it's like, oh, crap, I can't get a PS3 for Christmas.
Yeah, they're not going to get a Wii.
They're going to get the comparable next-gen system, which is an Xbox 360.
Yeah.
And if you read on the, from what I've read, it seems like everybody's developing for 360 and porting. To PS3.
Yep.
And Sony did break a tradition. No game company had the number one system two generations in a row until the PS1, PS2. However, they'd have to break another tradition to be number one this time. The other rule is that the most advanced system is never the most popular. That has never been broken. And if PS3 did win, that tradition would be broken, but I don't think it will, because I think Xbox 360, which is technically inferior, but probably not a whole lot inferior.
They're pretty close,
will probably win. Because if you look in the past, Master System was better than Nintendo, they didn't win. Super Nintendo is better than Genesis, and for all intents and purposes, Genesis won.
Yeah.
I thought the N64 was superior to the PS1. I thought the PS1 looked like crap. But,
but the PS1 dominated.
Won.
Yeah. And
all right.
Xbox is better than the PS2, and PS2 won, so...
Exactly. All right, well, I guess we've gone a little bit over our original time estimate and be able to edit it down, but hopefully this was interesting for you. This is our prototype thing. Jones is interested in podcasting, so we just threw this together in approximately 17 hours from him mentioning the word podcasting and us recording this. So if you've enjoyed the show, email us and tell us what you think, and maybe we can do more in the future, which would be kind of fun, because I like talking about this kind of stuff. And
we always have a lot to say about it. We could just record our general conversations about
that's
this
kind
stuff,
of
basically.
Where I got the idea. It was after yesterday. And if you have an idea for topics, anything involving mostly video games or next-generation formats, maybe some movie stuff, but I'd like to keep it technical, because I like technical stuff.
Yeah.
You know, other questions. Maybe we even review games. I don't know.
Yeah,
see what people like this.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, until next time, this has been the BenHeck.com podcast, and I wish you all well and happy gaming, etc., etc., etc.
Adios.
Goodbye, Matilda.